The Punt, William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast.
Hello and welcome along to The Punt. No football this week, but we're going to talk about it anyway. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me in the studio is the regular pundit on The Punt, Mr. Phelps. How are you, Lee?
I'm good, thank you. Yep, I had a nap winner the weekend.
Good.
So I think the key is just go away.
All right.
Put a nap up, go away for the weekend, come back, and then everything's good in the world. So yeah, all good. It was an entertaining weekend, actually, wasn't it?
It was.
A lot of goals.
Very good. We'll have a look back at the weekend. And the implications it's had on the varying markets that we're going to go through. We're going to look at the top end of the table, the top goal scorer, and the wrong end of the table as well. Chelsea 1-14 to win the Premier League now. They've got a game in hand. What are they, 6 points clear at the top with a game in hand? They didn't get all their own way against Hull at the weekend, but it's that old mark of champions where they still get the result. That old cliche.
Yeah. I mean, you're right. I mean, it was weird, wasn't it? Because you kind of think, I've done that a few times where they go into the lead, and then you think, oh, that's it then, game over. And then suddenly they let teams back in. But I just can't see them dropping enough points between now and the end of the season for the other teams to catch them. And even if, let's say Chelsea, I mean, Chelsea's next few fixtures, including that Hull one, were quite easy, really. Then they've got a pretty difficult run. They had the Hull game, they've got Stoke at home, they've got QPR away, and then they've got Manchester United, Arsenal, then Leicester. Then a couple more trickier games after Palace. They've got Liverpool, they've got West Brom and Sunderland. So you know, there's three games there that you could maybe say, well, what if they lose all three of those? 9 points have been dropped. But one, I don't think they will lose all those games. And two, it's the fact that I can't trust the other sides to win every single match.
Yeah.
You know? So even if they finished, if they dropped the 6 points, they've still got the best goal difference in the competition. But let's say they drop seven. Between now and the end of the season, I don't see City winning all their eight remaining games, or Arsenal, or Man United, or Liverpool. So, you know, I think it's Chelsea's. I think it's a fairly safe bet.
Moving on to without Chelsea then, because obviously there's no value in them at the price, 1-14. We do have betting without Chelsea. So, you're betting on who finishes second. Man City are 4-9, Arsenal 9-4, Man United 8-1, Liverpool are 25, Southampton 100-1, and Tottenham also 100-1. First view there, Man City just look too short at 4-9.
They do, don't they? Yeah, given the way the table is and given the way that they had been playing. I mean, I did think they would come back from Europe and play really well this weekend. They were helped no end, of course, by the sending off after 2 minutes of McCauley, wrongly as it turned out. But either way, they were losing a player. I mean, their stats were incredible, weren't they? How many shots that City had on West Brom's goal. And beat them 3-0. It's interesting when you look back at last season when they went out of the Champions League, also to Barcelona, of course. They went on a really good run after that. I mean, they won the next three games to nil, beating Hull, Fulham and Manchester United, 2-0, 5-0 and 3-0. The Man United game was away from home. They drew with Arsenal, beat Southampton 4-1, did lose to Liverpool, and then went on a winning run right through to the end of the season, and of course ultimately won the title. So you know, I think this team is capable of really putting a really good run together, even when they've gone out of the Champions League. They're pretty strong at home in 2013 when they finished the season as well. Obviously the season before that, in 2012, and they finished very strongly. City can do it. And obviously, that's why the price is at 4-9. But they're just hard to trust at that sort of price, aren't they? In my opinion, you look at what they've got left. They've got Palace away, Man United away, West Ham at home, Villa at home, Spurs away, QPR at home, Swansea away, and Southampton at home. You would have to say that they should win at least five of those eight. And I think they probably should win six. They might not beat Manchester United, might not beat Tottenham, but all those other games, they should win them, I think. So I think even like Swansea and Southampton's the last two games, I think they might just be done by then. I think they'll probably finish their season, or there'll be more for City to play for. So you're looking at City picking up maybe 18 points between now and the end of the season. And I think Arsenal can match that, maybe even better it. So I can't touch them at 4-9 either, Mark.
No. I would be half tempted by the 9-4 about Arsenal. There's only a point in it.
Yeah, and they're on a great run, of
Arsenal
course.
Arsenal in fantastic form.
Yeah, take out that Monaco defeat at home, which was an absolute shocker in terms of performance and result. And there's only the defeat to Tottenham at White Hart Lane for a long, long time. So, I think they've been in great form. And they're not drawing games, they're just winning, which is obviously the big difference of, racking up points. And they're another team who know how to carry on till the end of the season. Now, they've got the FA Cup semi-final to come, probably an FA Cup final as well. So maybe you'd say that's a bit of a fly in the ointment. They've got Liverpool at home next this weekend. They've also got Chelsea to play at home. They've got Manchester United away. So they've got three really tough games.
Yeah.
But, you know, rather than looking at it as a negative, you can, if you look at it as a positive and say, well, what if they go and beat those teams? Then that really does open things up. Unfortunately for Arsenal, they're not the kind of team who go and beat those teams very often, are they? They don't perform particularly well against the better teams. It's usually the weaker teams they beat. So I'm going to say no to Arsenal as well.
Right. So who do you go for?
I'm running out of space, aren't I? It might just be a no bet. Man United are 8-1. We'll just go through the end of season run-ins. Man United are probably the team who've still got most improvement, in a sense. And they've got it. It's in their hands, this, isn't it? Because they've got, their running is the hardest of the lot, in my opinion. And that's why I think they've been doing so well, because they've been playing weaker teams by and large.
Yeah.
So they lose to Arsenal in the FA Cup, but then they beat Tottenham in the best performance of the season. Arguably, probably not as good against Liverpool, but got the job done. Helped, obviously, by Gerrard. They've got Villa next at home. You think that would be a win.
Mm-hmm.
Then they've got City at home, which is obviously a huge game. Anything could happen there. Then they've got Chelsea away, Everton away, and Everton, I think, are improving a little bit. Then they've got West Brom at home, Palace away, Arsenal at home, and Hull away. It's all down to these games, isn't it? What if they can take 6 points out of Man City, Chelsea, Everton, and Arsenal? Think that'd be enough? They're only a point behind Arsenal at the minute. I don't see why they should be 8-1 if you give them the if you say that they're good enough to win some of those big games. I think they could beat Arsenal.
It could come down to that penultimate game, couldn't it? Man United against Arsenal
for second place.
Yeah.
It could well do, and if it does come down to that, then I'm having the 8-1 now. You know, I wouldn't have said that all season long, Mark, about Man United, but suddenly there just seems to be a bit of belief now amongst the players, and it seems to be, you know, the manager seems to be talking in much more positive terms. They've got players to come back, of course. If those players come back in a little bit better form, we have got an international break coming up, which could change things as well, because you don't know what injuries teams will pick up. I'll just look through Liverpool. I mean, they were half the price they are now before the weekend, of course, but that defeat to Manchester United just shoved them out to 25-1 to finish second. The league table sees them on 54 points, so a full 7 points behind Man City. It's a lot, you know. Same argument with Chelsea. Are City going to drop that many points that Liverpool can catch them, even if they went on a winning run? They've got Arsenal away. They've also got the FA Cup semi-final and probably an FA Cup final against Arsenal if the bookies are right. Then they've got Newcastle at home, Hull away, West Brom away, QPR at home, Chelsea away, Crystal Palace at home and Stoke away. The easiest run of the lot.
Yeah.
That's why I love the 12-1, but they had to beat Man United, I think. If I was having a bet on it, I probably would back Man United with 80% of my stake. I might have 20% of my stake on Liverpool.
Yeah.
At a big price.
I would have, yeah, if this was before the weekend, I would have been.
Still do, but still a lot of points to play for, though, isn't there?
There is, yeah. There are, but
24 points to play for. Chelsea have got more than that, of course, to play for. They've got an extra game.
It was just that start to the season that ruined Liverpool's.
Yeah, I mean, look at, you know, Derek McGovern was saying on the punt before the weekend, you know, ifs and, you know, maybes, but he was saying, imagine if they had Luis Suarez this season, they'd have won the title by now.
Yeah.
You're probably right, you know, because look how, you know, they've been very good, obviously, since then, until that Man United game. What might be interesting is that the Man United result has kind of bookmarked bookended their run. They lost to Man United 3-0, went on that brilliant run, and then lost to them 2-1.
Mm.
Well, if they can just get back on it again. You know, that was their first defeat since the 14th of December in the Premier League, the 3-0 loss at Old Trafford. So, you know, if they can get back on it and do something similar and replicate that form, then, yeah, I think they'll be closer than the 25-1 suggests, put it that way.
Okay. The top four, then. We've mentioned plenty of teams in there. Can't get 7-4 is what I was going to try and insinuate, which is
it's true.
The case.
It's factually correct.
It is. Chelsea, obviously, well, they're pretty much there, aren't they?
Yeah.
Then you've got Man City, Arsenal, Man United, Liverpool, all with great chance. Southampton's still in the mix, and Spurs aren't a million miles away either.
No, yeah.
Just get the betting up.
It's a really interesting market, isn't it? I mean, the way the bookies have priced this, that they're not even quoting City and Chelsea, which I think is fair enough. I can't see, you know, City aren't going to implode, are they?
No.
Fall out the top four. It's just, yeah, you're basically picking one from the three, aren't you? Again, on the prices, you know, you're not going to back Arsenal at 1-10, even though they will finish in the top four, I'm sure. Man United 3-10, Liverpool 5-2. Well, given the fact that Man United have got the harder run in, you'd have to take Liverpool, wouldn't you? Even if you don't think that they're going to finish above Man United, I still have to take Liverpool at 5-2 because they've got an easier run in and they have been in really good form. And you could argue that if Gerrard had stayed on the pitch, it might have been a draw, they might have got something out of it. I know this is like, you know, it's purely hypothetical. But given the run in that both have got, I would rather be with Liverpool. I think they are, all things being equal, you know, Man United could win those games and romp into the top four. All things being equal, though, I think Liverpool are the better bet of those two. Even if I don't think necessarily that it will happen like that.
Yeah.
I think it'll probably be... I think their bookies have probably got it right. I think it probably will be Chelsea, Man City, Arsenal, Man United in the end. But you know, that's not from a betting point of view.
Hmm. Yeah, I get what you're saying. And we mentioned earlier that penultimate game of the season might be a shootout for the fourth Champions
League. Man United, Arsenal. Yeah. It could well be. Yeah, which would be great, won't it? If we're taking it that far down to the wire, we shall see. But I do think Liverpool still represent a little bit of value. I think you'll get them back up for it. It'd be interesting to see what happens in the next game on the 4th of April after the international break when Liverpool go to the Emirates on the Saturday 12:45 kickoff. That's going to be fascinating to see what happened. Of course, Liverpool had a great time against Arsenal last season. Mm. So yeah, that will tell us a lot as well. You know, Liverpool could be 33s, but after that game, you know, in the win without market. So yeah, lots to play for. But I'm kind of putting a line through Tottenham and Southampton. Tottenham, great and all that, but they just throw in a bad performance too often for me. You know, I'm not having them in. And Southampton have done brilliantly well, but I think they'll just, I think they'll carry on. I think they'll, you know, keep picking up points, and I think they'll that's an interesting match bet, isn't it? Though, I mean, if you can have a match bet between Southampton and Tottenham, who finishes higher?
Mm.
That would be interesting. I don't quite know the answer. Southampton have got this uncanny ability just to keep on grinding out results. Everyone was saying, "Oh yeah, they're badly out of form." Well, suddenly you look at it, you think, not really. They're all right. Still got one of the best defences in the Premier League. They've got Everton away, Hull at home, Stoke away, Tottenham at home. Massive game, that one, of course, yeah. If you're having a match bet. Sunderland away, Leicester away, Aston Villa at home, and Man City away last game of the season. So it's quite a kind running until they get to the end. Tottenham, just to complete the full list of teams in the top seven. Burnley away, Villa at home, Newcastle away, Southampton away is the game that we talked about. Man City at home for Tottenham, Stoke away, Hull at home and Everton away. So you could argue maybe they're pretty equal, those run-ins.
Mm. If I had a match bet, I'd probably lean towards Spurs.
Yeah, I think I would. I think they've probably got the better players and they've probably got they've got a bigger squad to choose from, haven't they? And Southampton, what lets them down is that little bit of fatigue.
Let's talk about top goal scorer. Diego Costa, 6-4, joint favourite with Harry Kane after his hat-trick at the weekend sent him joint top of the goal scorers. Sergio Aguero is 9-4, Alexis Sanchez is 50-1, and Charlie Austin 66-1. Hearing news as we record this on the Monday that Diego Costa's got a muscle injury as well, which plays it into Harry Kane's hands a little bit. They're both on 19 goals. Aguero's on 17, but doesn't seem to be scoring anymore. 15 for Charlie Austin. Is it between those four, do you think?
Yes. Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think Charlie Austin's chances will get fewer and fewer as the season goes on. Obviously, he's just there. You know, he's the only man who ever seems to score for QPR. He didn't score at the weekend. But, you know, generally, you know, you look at QPR's total goals this season. They've scored 31. He's got 15 of them. You know, Harry Kane, though, as well, you know, they've scored 50 goals altogether, Tottenham, and he's got 19 of them. He just seems to score every week, doesn't he? I mean, he doesn't. And I made a little bit of an argument early in the season and was proved wrong that maybe he wasn't quite as good against the better teams. He did score in the... then he scored in against Chelsea. He scored two against Chelsea in that daft 5-3. And he also scored against Arsenal, didn't he? Mm-hmm. In the North London derby. He scored two against Arsenal. So I was a bit like, oh, yeah. Then he got one against Liverpool. I was like, oh, my God, I can't believe I said that. Since then, you know, he didn't score against Chelsea in the League Cup final. I thought he would. Didn't score against United when they lost heavily. But, you know, he got a hat-trick against Leicester, two against QPR. And as we've just said, you know, they have got a relatively easy run-in, haven't they? I can see him scoring in the final eight games. I can see him scoring another four goals. Now, if Costa's picked up a niggly injury, he's going to miss two or three games at least, isn't he? If it's a hamstring. Remember, he had a hamstring injury at the start of the season. And even if it's just... The fact he's gone for a scan, even if he's past fit and he plays in games, he's not going to be fully at it, is he?
No.
I think Kane could score more goals than Costa between now and the end of the season, given that we know he's fully fit. Now, if City get going, and start to really pummel teams, then Aguero's going to be the man, isn't he, to score most of those goals. So you'd have to say, I think, even though he's two goals behind Harry Kane, I think City will score more goals between now and the end of the season than Tottenham will. So I think 9-4 is the bet. I mean, how many bets have we had to put up in this over the course of the season? I think we backed Aguero about four times at different prices and Costa. I think we backed Aguero at 4-1 at one point, didn't we? When Costa really went off in, like, you know, at the start of the season. I think we also backed Alexis Sanchez each way as well, but we won't mention that one too much. But yeah, I can see why the money's coming for Kane, but I still would have to go for the player who plays in a better team, i.e. City, who are going for something. I think they've got more to play for than Tottenham have. And Sergio Aguero is a better goal scorer, in my opinion, than Harry Kane. So 9-4 versus 6-4. Even with giving away a two-goal advantage, I'll go for Aguero at 9-4. Would you?
Probably, yeah. Plus, you can't back an Englishman to be top scorer. Not anymore.
I mean, when was the last time that happened? We should set that as a question.
Yeah?
Should we do that? Who was
the last Englishman to be top scorer in the Premier League?
And you can't wiki it like Mark did in The Office.
Oh, how dare you.
It was me. So, yeah, last Englishman to be top scorer in the Premier League. Mm-hmm. Answers to @MarkWalton88 and @LeeFelps on Twitter. Last Englishman to be top scorer in the Premier League. No prizes.
Okay, just so for fun. What do they win?
Just pride.
Yeah.
Just pride.
Pride. No better reward than pride.
No, that's all you need, isn't it?
Right. So you're siding with Aguero there. The wrong end of the table. We've got betting on relegation. QPR 10-1 on to go down. Leicester 1-6. Burnley 8-11. Sunderland 11-8. Hull are 5-2. And Aston Villa are 4-1. So according to the betting, QPR and Leicester already down. It's between Burnley, Sunderland and Hull. Who joins them?
Wow. It's tricky, isn't it? Yeah, I concur with that. I think they've been down for a couple of weeks, really. I mean, you've got to feel a bit for Leicester, haven't you? They don't have a go.
That's, yeah.
But, you know, that doesn't get you anywhere, does it? Still only four wins all season. Same as Sunderland, incidentally, but they've had double the draws of Leicester. So, yeah, I mean, I said on the punt a couple of weeks ago that I didn't think the Gary Ramsay appointment was very good at QPR. It was very popular in the media and everyone seemed to like it, but he hasn't done anything really, has he? The form's been dreadful before he took over and since he took over.
Gary Ramsay? I thought it was Chris Ramsay. Am I making that up?
It is Chris Ramsay. Where did I get Gary Ramsay from? I've got no idea. Yeah, Chris Ramsay. Who is Gary Ramsay? Leave it in, it's fine. Who is Gary Ramsay? Yeah, and they've got, I mean, we've talked about this quite a lot, but they've got really hard running at home. So if we say that Leicester, unless something miraculous happens, actually can't see it. Now, Burnley, I've struggled with Burnley all season. People like Burnley, but I don't think they score enough goals. And these next three teams, next four teams we're going to talk about, you know, three of them don't score enough goals for me. And I think Burnley are going to be one of those teams who will slip under. That win against Man City is incredible, really, when you think, you know, the amount of games they've won in the Premier League and they beat the champions, it's ridiculous. But you know, I don't see them, you know, they've got Tottenham next at home. I don't see them winning enough games. They've got Arsenal at home, and that's where their best form is. Everton away, Leicester at home, West Ham away, Hull away, Stoke at home and Aston Villa away. So there are winnable games. There are games that they're playing against their rivals down there. I don't see them winning enough with the other teams losing enough for them to stay up. It's pretty boring, but you'd think Sunderland would get some sort of reaction from the new manager, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
I mean, it didn't look like it, to be fair, going away. I mean, I think what they've done there is they've been a little unlucky. I predicted that they would go away and go for the point. And they've gone to West Ham and they've conceded in the 88th minute, which is a bit of a sucker punch, isn't it? So, that, you know, they could have got a point there. It's going to be really interesting to see what happens when they come back from the international break. They've got a great record in the North East Derby. And they've got Newcastle on the 5th of April, Sunday at 4 o'clock. So that's going to be a hell of a game. I'd fancy Sunderland to win that, to be honest with you. Because, like I said, they have been doing really well in that tie. And I think Newcastle are in all sorts of bother with injuries and what have you. You know, Sunderland have won the last four matches. Only one of them at home, incidentally, the way it's fallen. But they haven't lost to Newcastle since the 20th of August 2011, when they beat them at the Stadium of Light. I'd probably favour Sunderland to win that game. And I think they'll just have enough to get out of it. You know, I think they have got a goal scorer. in Jermaine Defoe. Hasn't really done too much, but they've got Fletcher, they've got Wickham, you know, and they've got that little bit of experience of getting out of it last season. Do you remember that when they performed a little bit of a minor miracle, really, in getting out of it?
Yeah.
And they've got the points advantage. You know, they're on 26 points, so they're already a point ahead of Burnley, and I think they can probably just pick up enough to finish above Burnley. I think Villa, although they were a little disappointing this weekend, I think he'll get them over the line as well, because, I mean, Tim Sherwood said, we don't defend well enough, really. We're an attacking team. And they've not got the easiest run in. I mean, they've got, you know, Man United away, they've got QPR at home, which is should win that one, they've got Tottenham away, then they've got the FA Cup, of course, they've got Man City away as well, Everton at home, West Ham at home, Southampton away, and Burnley. So I think you could say that the way Villa have played under Sherwood so far, I can see them getting another 6 to 9 points. And that would take them up to kind of like, you know, your 36-point barrier. And I don't think you'll need that much to be safe. Hull, probably in the same bracket, really. You know, they've scored the most goals of any of those that we're talking about, barring QPR. And I think Hull will do pretty much the same sort of thing. I think they'll have enough just to pick up, you know, points on the road and then, you know, maybe getting a home win here and there. And that'll just do them enough. They're running, by the way. Swansea away, Southampton away, Liverpool at home, Palace away, Arsenal at home, Burnley at home, Tottenham away, and Manchester United. They need to be probably safe by the time they've played Burnley, but I think they probably will be. They should beat Burnley. They've got a chance to get something out of Palace. I think they can get something against Swansea as well. So, but, you know, look at those fixtures. You could maybe make a little argument for Hull.
I don't know if it's because I've said it all year and I'm just sticking to my guns, but I think Burnley stay up.
Do you?
I do. I think Sunderland are in a lot of trouble. I think 11-8. I know they've changed the manager, which might cause a reaction. But
that game's massive, isn't it? Yeah. That Sunderland-Newcastle game. You know, if they lose that, Mark, that could really... Your bet could look great then. You know, because if they lose that, you know, you'd be really upset. They're 7-5 to win that game. Sunderland. What price are they to go down? 11-8, was it?
11-8, yeah.
Yeah, interesting one. I think it's all on that game, and I just about favour them to get the job done there. So I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt. Father-in-law is a Sunderland fan as well, so, you know, got to stay, keep him swing.
Right, fair enough. I'll talk you through the Burnley fixtures the way I see them. I don't think they'll get anything against Spurs or Arsenal.
No.
Might sneak something against Everton,
maybe,
but they're away from home. They should beat Leicester at home.
Yeah.
Might sneak something from West Ham. And then they've got Hull, who are in the mix with them. I think they'll beat them, possibly. Stoke will have nothing to play for by the time they play them.
True.
And then it's Villa.
Yeah.
And Villa might be safe by then already. So I think Burnley have almost got the best running out of the teams down there.
It's just the form. It's the lack of wins away from home is obviously a worry. Just one. Just that one win all season. It was at Stoke, actually. So, you know, no reason why they wouldn't beat them at home, as you say. But, I mean, they have got draws, obviously. They drew at Palace, drew at Leicester, drew at Man City, of course, drew at Newcastle and drew at Chelsea. So, you know, they've proved they can draw at some really difficult places. I wouldn't argue against you too much, if I'm being honest. You know, I think Burnley will go down, but I think it'll be a very close run thing. And other teams who will be vying for that last spot, I think Sunderland are definitely one of them. Sunderland and Hull for me would be... So, given the odds, I'd probably have to go for Hull. If I was going to back one to go down, who isn't in the three now, I'd probably have to go to Hull. Just because they've lost Jelovic for a few weeks as well, and that's a major blow for them scoring. I mean, I know Ndoye is capable of scoring. I mean, they scored two against Chelsea, didn't they? But I do think they'll probably just have enough, though, at Hull in the end. So, yeah, I'll stick with the three that are there already, which is pretty boring. But, yeah, 8-11 Burnley to go down is the only bet for me there.
Okay. What about to stay up then? Just the flip side of that argument, I suppose. Villa 1-7, Hull 2-7, Sunderland 8-15, Burnley even money, Leicester 7-2, QPR 11-2.
Yeah, I mean, given what I've just said, there's nothing there that really tempts me in, to be honest. I mean, I wouldn't want to be back in Sunderland. I'm not that convinced by Sunderland that I could back them 8-15 to stay up. So the only bet really, given my, you know, this would be your bet, wouldn't it? Would be Burnley at evens.
Yeah.
But if you're back in Burnley evens, wouldn't you rather just pick someone to go down? Oh, don't you know?
Well,
are you sure about Burnley staying up than who's going to go down to
I'd rather put the even money on Burnley to stay up,
okay,
because I think they will. And
yeah,
I think it's between Sunderland and Hull, probably, who go down. So,
yeah, that's fair enough. Even money. Happy with even money, Burnley still? Is that confident?
I wanted it bigger than that, really.
Fair enough.
To be completely
confident. I can tell that in your face.
Yeah.
Yeah. But no, it's that market's always the trickiest one, I think. There's always less value in the stay up than the relegation one.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it is a tricky one. But anyone who's got strong feelings about Burnley, then fair enough. Leicester 7-2, QPR 11-2. Interesting that, you know, that Leicester are quite a bit shorter than QPR, isn't it? Yet they're 3 points off them. Yeah. I know they've got a game in hand, but they're not winning them, are they? So it's not like, oh yeah, Leicester got a game in hand. It's one more game to lose, isn't it? And get a worse goal difference than QPR in my book. And you know, unless they suddenly, I mean, scoring three goals at Tottenham and losing, it's absolutely ridiculous, isn't it, really? But yeah. That's interesting. I guess again, you know, might ask the traders for a couple of match bets. Southampton versus I'll take Southampton. Yeah. Southampton versus Tottenham and Leicester versus QPR.
Yeah.
Given that, if we had a to finish bottom market, which we haven't got at the minute, I'm presuming they're going to price up QPR as the favourites to be bottom.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I think.
Would you have that?
I think QPR will finish bottom.
No, I've said Leicester for a while. I don't see that. I think they're giving the best. Yeah. And they can't get anywhere near. Come the time when you just have to own up and say, well, we're not as good. You know, QPR are still, you know, they're not losing heavily to many teams. You know, they're still scoring goals and you know, and close to teams. And I just wonder, the home form was everything for them. It's been absolutely shocking. But look at the teams they've had to play.
Yeah.
You know, since the last point at home to Swansea, they've played Manchester United, Southampton, who've got the best away defence in the league, Arsenal, Tottenham and Everton, who are a little bit more resurgent. They've got Chelsea next. Then they've got West Ham and Newcastle. And I think those are winnable games for them. Their away form, they got a first win of the season against Sunderland. They're away at West Brom, Villa, Liverpool, Man City and Leicester. So I don't see an awful lot. Well, that's great, isn't it? 24th of May, if you have that match bet. And yeah. That's a great little game. If QPR at Leicester to see who finishes bottom. That'd be great.
Leicester will win that.
Yeah, and we'll still be arguing about it. Yeah, I'm going to ask for both of those match bets on Southampton, Tottenham, and I'll tweet them out if the traders agree.
Okay, fair enough. We've talked about quite a bit there.
Yeah.
Anything stand out to you that you want to leave the listeners with?
I think Aguero at 9-4. I mean, I do like those Liverpool bets, but I think, you know, like you say, we've just gone past the weekend, and you know, I can see why they're that big. They still look quite tempting now. Obviously, the Liverpool to finish second is 25 for a reason. There's a long way to go, but yeah. Liverpool top four. If Man United don't perform that well against the other big clubs, then I could see them sneaking into the top four. I think 5-2 is a big price, but yeah, Sergio Aguero to be top scorer at 9-4 would be my best bet out of that lot.
Okay,
what about you?
Out of that lot, Burnley to stay up.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know if that's silly. That might be silly. I like the way they play. I like the manager. I think they've never got carried away. They've basically just approached it in the correct way for me. And
yeah, true.
You've got them who've kind of been steady all year, just not good enough. But then Sunderland have fallen in a hole. Hull are struggling. Villa have just about turned the corner. Yeah. I think Burnley have got a chance.
Yeah, fair dose. One tiny thing against you is that goal difference.
Yeah.
Just need to improve that a little bit, don't they? Tighten up at the back a little bit. Because they actually score... Yeah, they scored more goals than Sunderland, but they've conceded 49. So, yeah, they could just do with tightening that up.
Yeah, second worst defence in the league.
That's great.
Right, yeah. Let's go tell him. Let's tighten up your defence and you'll stay up.
Yeah, yeah. I bet he hasn't looked at that yet. we had some, just to finish off on, this should be up on site, the PFA Player of the Year betting. For 2014-2015. Been a big move on Harry Kane. He was 9-1 when we talked about this a few weeks ago. Obviously, the goals he's scoring, his England call-up. He's now 11-4, second favourite behind Eden Hazard. The full list is Fabregas at 9, Sanchez 10s with Costa, Aguero 12s, David De Gea, who actually I think is not a bad shout, 16s. And then you get to 25-1 and bigger the rest. If you haven't had a bet in this, and I know it's a bit of... it's a lot shorter than I've just mentioned... But I think Harry Kane's still worth a bet because Chelsea's players don't tend to fare too well in this. And Hazard's a wonderful player, don't get me wrong. But look back at the history of this competition, Mark. It's been on the go, this PFA Player of the Year, since 1973-74. Look how many Chelsea players are in there. Even in this era, one.
Yeah.
And look how much they've dominated over recent years. You know, Chelsea players don't seem to win this award. So I could overlook Eden Hazard at odds on for this. and I could go for Harry Kane. The only downside is that he probably would have to win both. He'd have to win the young player and the player of the year, and that's only been done twice in modern football, by Gareth Bale and Cristiano Ronaldo. The other player to do it was Andy Gray. The first player to do it, in fact, was Andy Gray. He won both. I'd probably go for... I mean, Man United players do really well in it, don't they? That's why I like David De Gea, but you don't get any keepers.
Goalkeepers don't do well, that's what I was going to say.
Has a goalkeeper ever won it, Mark?
I don't think so.
Peter Shilton won it in 1976. Oh, I don't know that. And Pat Jennings in 1976. It must have been the era of the keepers. Yeah. They were two decent keepers, to be fair.
They weren't bad, were they?
Yeah, they were all right. That was not off the top of my head. I am looking on Wikipedia as we do this. So. But yeah, there you go. It doesn't always go to popular players, of course, because Luis Suarez won it last year, didn't he? But... I thought it's an interesting market. They've put out a load of specials, by the way, on the page. There's Ballon d'Or specials. When will Gareth Bale leave Real Madrid? How many Premier League games will Gerrard start after the 23rd of March, i.e. when we're recording this? The one that Mark loves is who will reach 50 goals for England first?
Yeah.
Wayne Rooney or OGs, which is a great little market. England have got Lithuania, of course, on Friday as we record this. Own goals is the outsider at 100-30.
Yeah.
Both from, own goals are on 48, aren't they?
amazing. You'd have to be a madman to have a bet.
It was much bigger than that, though. I'm sure been gambled in.
Yeah?
Honestly, I'm sure it has. You really need Wayne Rooney to pick up a little bit of a knock, I think.
Yeah.
But aren't England playing, I'm sure they're playing someone, a minnow, in the next few games. And that was you say you have to be a madman. I think I tipped it up, which wouldn't be a big surprise, would it?
That explains a lot.
Yeah, it does explain a lot. But I think, I'm sure, so England have got Lithuania on Friday, and they've got a friendly against Italy. And then they've got, it's San Marino, but it's not till September.
Mm.
So you can't have Rooney scoring any in the next four internationals before they play San Marino. So, I think Rooney will get that.
We've got betting on when he'll reach 50 as well, haven't we?
Yes.
What price is it if you're going to... if you're going to go with, you don't want him to score in those next five games.
It's when he breaks the record of 49.
Oh, right, so it's one more.
So Lithuania at home, 20-1. So he needs.
He's on 46. Own goals are two in front of you. Get on.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, he's the second. Own goals aren't a second highest scorer.
Right. Fair enough.
Yeah, they're not level. Yeah, sorry, I thought you level. Knew that. No. That's why I was thinking you've really got to go some. But I mean, he could score against... You'd expect him to score against Lithuania. Or, you know, I'm not saying he will score against Lithuania, but, you know, Lithuania and Slovenia, you might think he might get a goal. Maybe Republic. But that's what I meant. If you can get to San Marino and he hasn't scored three, you'd be like, yeah, come on! Goals. Lithuania at home, 20-1. 7-1 Italy away. Ireland away, 11-2. 4-1 for him to equal the record. Break Bobby Charlton's record. It's 4-1. San Marino away 5-2, 5-1. Switzerland at home, 8-1 for Estonia at home. Lithuania away 10-1, and the record not to be broken. The next 8 England matches is 5-1. There you go.
Okay.
Nice specials there.
Hmm. You're getting 20-1 about him scoring four times against Lithuania.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You like that?
No. I was thinking you'd want bigger than that, wouldn't you? What would you be to score two or more or a hat-trick in the betting?
I'm just going to have a look for you. Let's have a look. England, Lithuania. Hopefully we've got the markets well. They're 1-8 to beat Lithuania, by the way. We'll preview this on the punt at the weekend. Rooney is 14-1 for a hat-trick. Bigger than that, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Okay, well, good. That's
yeah, thanks, mate.
Yeah. Cheers, Lee.
Anything else we want to talk about?
No.
It's all sorts, haven't we?
Yeah.
Cricket World Cup.
There's a podcast out with Anthony McGrath. Have a listen to that instead.
I don't think we need to be tipping it, do we?
No. Definitely not in cricket. Not for me, anyway. Okay, well, good stuff, Lee.
Cheers, Mark.
Cheers. And you'll be back this weekend.
Yeah, Thursday recording ahead of the Euro 2016 qualifiers. England play on Friday, then the other teams play across the weekend, the other home nations teams, and Ireland play across the weekend. So we'll preview all them matches.
Okay, good. Thank you very much.
Cheers, mate.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.